9-11. 11 minutes now after 9 o'clock. It's Gary Byron at on the 24th day of August. I wonder, we got to do a countdown clock maybe to how many more days till Election Day.
I think 72 at this point, right?
Oh, do you really know?
I think so.
Look, leave it to you, man. Leave it to you.
I'm pretty good at this sometimes.
Was that a stab in the, like, just taking a stab at it? Or it's 72, you say?
I think so. I think it is 72. 71.
Wow, that's still pretty good, though. You're off by one day.
I'm mad at myself.
Check you out. 71 days.
71 days.
For campaigns to get their acts together. And really, you know, and to get their message out and move forward and really rally the troops.
And do it all while under the threat of COVID.
Well, yeah.
Social distancing and all.
Things have been relaxed a little bit. Excuse me. It's still nowhere near what it should be.
For sure.
From a year ago or 2 years ago, if you want to look at the other, you know, the state and congressional campaigns. You're right. But it's not where it was, where people wouldn't even go out, move out their door or answer their door. People are starting to relax a little bit with that. That brings us to our next guest, folks. He is the president of the Connecticut Young Republicans. He comes on our show once a month and kind of gives us the lowdown as far as what's happening. We've covered, I think, the congressional races. I don't know what you've got in store today. We'll welcome back to the program Ken Langille. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Great. How have you been?
Good, good. Things are going well here with the YRs.
Yeah, good. I'm glad to hear that. Now, we're talking about so much here. What did we cover last month? We covered congressional races, right?
Yeah. We covered congressional. We did some 830G. Hit a few bases.
All right. This is what I'd like to do today. We want to cover maybe some state Senate races. How about that?
Perfect.
All right. So let's start with perhaps the most hotly contested districts.
I think one that's certainly interesting is District 4. District 4 is Manchester, Glastonbury, Bolton, and Andover. It's currently held by Steve Cassano, former mayor of Manchester.
Yeah.
He has a seat for a long time.
Yes, he has.
Some close races lately. In 2016, he, I believe, was about 500 to 600 vote total, which in a Senate race, that's very close.
Yeah, that's very close. You're right. Considering how many towns comprise that district. And I think in 2018, didn't my former colleague in the House, Mark Tweedy, he went against him, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Ran a very tough race, unfortunately came up short. But that's always a seat that Republicans have had an eye on. Republicans typically have done very well in Glastonbury, very well in Bolton and Andover. And, you know, we've even had a seat in Manchester from time to time. You know, Mark Tweedy is a name that comes to mind. He was, you know, a Manchester seat. So it's certainly an area that... you know, Republicans have an ability to get the seat.
So what makes them have the ability to have the seat? Who is the challenger? Who's the Republican endorsed candidate?
It is actually Matthew Corey, whose name you might be familiar with.
Yeah, he ran for Congress.
Exactly. He's run for Congress three times. He's ran for U.S. Senate in 2018. He won the primary against Dominic Rapini. It's somebody who has a very strong name recognition, somebody who is very well known in the district. And that's what you need when you're running against somebody like a longtime incumbent,
right,
like Steve Cassano. You need somebody with that built-in name recognition that when somebody sees the name around town, they're going to go, oh, you know what? I know that guy. Or I've seen him before. I know he's involved in my local community. So I think Matthew Corey is a great candidate for that race because he knows how to run a campaign. He knows how to run a big campaign too, because there's a big step up between running a House race and running a Senate race. Mm. A Senate race, you're talking, you know, a six-figure budget in terms of advertising, and you're also talking about a much bigger area to cover, where Matthew has had to do this in the past during his congressional runs, during his Senate run. He has had to, you know, be able to, you know, be efficient in his contacts with voters simply because he's had to try to reach out to every voter in the state or in the first congressional district a few times now. So I think, you know, he's somebody who's going to have that infrastructure and that insight to be able to run a really good race.
I got to tell you, the name recognition means a lot. I would imagine that's, I mean, of course that's to his advantage, but he still has to get out there and pound the pavement, right? And that, isn't that going to be challenging this year?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you talk about the issues with COVID. There's still candidates going to door to door now.
Yeah, there are.
Not as much as it used to be. It used to be if you were running in November, you know, you were typically out in July. If you were running in a primary in August, you were out in April and May sometimes. Typically you would know if you had a primary by then. You know, it's the ability to have run that race before. It's really tough, especially a Senate race. And he's somebody who you know is going to put in the work and somebody who you know is going to put their best foot.
Oh, I know he will, Ken, but is the name recognition enough alone to win that seat against a long-term incumbent?
I would say it's a good leg up, but it will get us over the finish line by itself. You know, unfortunately, being a Republican here in Connecticut means you're often going against the voter registration in your town. Now, a lot of towns, there's a big chunk of unaffiliated, you know, a decent amount of those unaffiliated typically tend to float towards the left. Now, does that mean that moderate Republicans can't, you know, attract those people to vote for the campaigns? Absolutely not. You know, we found, I think, that as the state Democrat Party has shifted further left, that there's more people, especially in that area, who really have kind of felt left behind by the Democrats in terms of their policy. You know, you talk about blue collar workers and people, you know, who have really, you know, tried to build something throughout their lifetime, all the small mom and pop business owners. And right now they're just feeling the hurt. You talk about all the small business mandates that we've passed down, the stratification of minimum wage here in Connecticut, where it's just constantly going up, and we're talking about putting more and more burdens on our small business owners. And that's where I think it's kind of a perfect storm of name recognition versus, you know, unhappy voter base kind of hopefully will add up to, you know, a well-run race in that district.
I hope it's it's beneficial for Matt Corey. And listen, I mean, I know he knows how to run a campaign and rally the troops. All right, so there's got to be some other districts in Connecticut, Senate districts in Connecticut that Republicans have a good shot at.
Yes, well, sort of keeping on topic with name recognition, District 24. District 24 is Danbury, Bethel, New Fairfield, and Sherman. It's currently held by Julie Kushner. It was held by former Senator Michael McLaughlin.
Yeah, I remember Mike.
A long time. And you talk about Danbury. Danbury is a city that, you know, tends to lean Republican. You have Mayor Mark Fountain down there. They've done a great job, really, promoting Republican politics and values in the city. And that's usually a strong base. Bethel, you know, the Dan Carter's former district.
That's right. That's right.
New Fairfield, Rich Smith. So it's certainly an area where Republicans tend to do well. But unfortunately, in 2018, we just kind of saw an unfortunate result where we now have Susan Chapman as the candidate running against Julie Kushner. Susan Chapman is a name you might also remember.
Of course.
She ran for Secretary of State in 2018. Mm-hmm. She was the former first selectman of New Fairfield, somebody who has been around politics for a long time in that area of state, and somebody who's very well known. And I think especially running a big statewide campaign and making the jump back to Senate races, you know, that's another race where we'll see the value of somebody who knows how to use a big budget. Often, you know, we see people get handed this money and they really, it's a lot of money. And oftentimes it's, you know, the most amount of money they may spend in their lifetime on something. And you know, it's the taxpayers' money, so they want to make sure it's done properly. They want to make sure that, you know, all their I's are dotted and T's are crossed. And somebody who has that experience, somebody who's worked with vendors before, somebody who knows how to do their messaging, really, really pays off. And especially in a year like this where it's, you know, you're not going to be able to go to door-to-door as much. You know, I understand candidates still are. Name recognition is going to be very important because you're already going to have that little bit of a base filled in there. And especially with her being the former first selectman of New Fairfield, you know, I think that's a great candidate for that district.
Yeah, I do too. We were speaking with the president of the Young Republicans, Ken Langill, about the state Senate races. All right, so basically, what you're telling me from these last two, you need to have some name recognition like Matt Corey and Sue Chapman. What about other races that are really close or... you know, where Republicans have a legitimate shot that may not have the name recognition?
Yeah. So a district like that is District 19, which is Sprague, Norwich, Montville, Marlboro. There's about five or six other towns in that district. It's quite a big district down in southeast Connecticut. And it's currently held by Kathy Austin. Kathy Austin, right, as we know, has had that seat for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Before that, it was Edith Prague. It's been in Democrat hands for a very long time. But Kathy Austin actually lost for selection.
Yes, she did last November.
Selectman's race in 2019. And a lot of people think that, you know, she's in trouble because that result could be projecting, you know, not just her town that she has run for. I believe she ran for 12 years.
Oh.
Maybe the rest of the district is finally ready to see some change as well. And the Republican candidate down there is somebody who's new to politics, Steve Weir. He was recently elected to the Board of Appeals in Hebron. He has mostly a business background. He's been a businessman most of his career. But you talk about somebody who brings a fresh approach to politics, and I think that's something that people are really looking for at a time like this. Somebody who's going to bring new ideas. We've constantly had the same problem in the state for what seems like decades now, just growing budget deficits, more and more taxes, the economy not doing as well as it should. And, you know, what's better than, you know, proving your point by kicking out a longtime Democrat incumbent and bringing in a Republican with some business?
Yeah, Kathy Austin, I mean, she was her first selectman, which is the equivalent of like being a mayor. He's also the state senator for it. It's almost like Pottersville, you know, and it's a wonderful life. It's like she runs the show in Sprague and Chaplin and all those other, you know, smaller towns that comprise that district. I'm just wondering if there's any chance in anywhere in the state where that's currently held a Senate seat that's currently held by a Republican that faces maybe a very tight challenge from a Democrat challenger.
Yeah, I think we see that right near Newington in the New Britain district with current senator is District 6. Is Gennaro.
Yeah.
Somebody who won in a special election.
Yeah.
It was really kind of a surprise at the time. Now, he was the city attorney for the city of New Britain for a long time, worked with Mayor Stewart for a long time. Somebody who, well, may not have been known statewide, somebody who was certainly well-known locally, and somebody who has a lot of experience when it comes to local politics in that area. He is being opposed by Democrat Rick Lopes, who's the former state representative for, I believe it's the 24th district, which is mostly New Britain. It does have a sliver of Newington. But that's going to be a very interesting race because anytime somebody wins in a special, you know, you never really know if that result's going to carry over. You hope it does. And we've seen it work the other way. We've seen former state representative and now mayor Laura Hoydick of Stratford. Her seat was considered a very safe Republican seat, I think, in Stratford, even though, you know, Stratford is, you know, tends to float more towards the middle. And unfortunately, Republicans lost that seat in a special, and we've been unable to get it back yet. And you wonder if these results that happen in special elections, whether or not they'll carry over, or whether or not we'll see a change.
I know Rick Lopes obviously had to give up his state representative seat in order to do that. And maybe next month when we get together, we can do the same thing. We can talk about some state rep races in the state that are, look to be really close. Going back to the Senate, though, I guess the ultimate question to ask is there a, of course there's a shot. There's always a shot. What do you think, and let's be fair here, let's be objective, what do you think the Senate could look like, the makeup of the Senate look like come November?
I think we could certainly see it get closer. That sixth district for Republicans is one they're really going to have to fight to keep. But Senator Bizarro has done a great job as their senator so far. And I think, he certainly deserves a second term. But you talk about other seats that Republicans have held before throughout the Senate. And one of them was, Julie Kushner's seat, which is Danbury. I think that's certainly a seat that could be picked up. You talk about Will Haskell in Westport, which is a big part of that Senate district, who has Kim Healy won the primary. She's from Wilton, has a lot of support in the local party. And you also talk about the 36th Senate, which is currently Alex Kaster. Ryan Fazio's running in that district, mm-hmm. somebody who's very young energy, also a young Republican as well. Somebody who can really, really, get their name out there, have a good energy, and, really help push our party forward.
You mentioned Gennaro. One other thing about Gennaro in that district, it also is a Farmington as well.
Yes.
Is Farmington considered a swing town, or is that more Democrat or Republican?
Farmington is a swing town. Well, we've typically seen them have Democrat state reps. The Republicans locally have done very well there. I feel like they've certainly made some gains, which I believe certainly played a part in Senator Bizarro winning his first election, which was a special, because in a special, it's all about voter mobilization. Yeah. Not everyone's going to come out for a special. A lot of people don't
right.
even know it's
We got to let you go. But all right. So next month when we're together, we're going to do the same thing with state representatives, right?
Absolutely. I look forward to it, Gary.
Thanks for being with us. That is the president of the Connecticut Young Republicans, Ken Langille. All right.